Welcome to the Diamonds and Pearls podcast for the woman who's creating her own path to freedom, walking in her sovereignty and creating an impact using her intuitive gifts. We will chat divine feminine energy, aligning with your purpose, and connecting with women who are here to serve as a leader and create an impact in the collective consciousness. My name is Jessica Shugart, and I'll be your host, and I'm so happy to have you part of this sisterhood, this collective, where we can rise up together. So if you're ready, let's dive right in. What's up, beautiful souls? Welcome to another episode of the Diamonds and Pearls podcast. I'm so excited. You girls are going to love this episode that I'm going to be sharing today. I have a special guest, Sarah Vlajit. She is a dear friend of mine that we actually were in a mentorship together. And I just really loved her energy, loved her heart. And she has so much exciting stuff coming up. And I just couldn't wait to get her here on the podcast. So I invited her and we had such a good conversation. I think you girls are going to really enjoy this convo because let me just share about Sarah. Sarah is a dancer, teacher, speaker, and goddess. She is the creatrix of Divine Feminine Dance, a moving meditation designed to inspire women to embody their femininity and sensuality through embodiment dance. You can find her sharing body confidence content on Instagram at Sarah Blodgett and on her website divinefeminine.com. So me and Sarah had such a good chat. We talked about feminine embodiment, we talked about movement, sensuality. She shared about her experience working in being a comedian and a female comedian and what that was like for her. And it was just really great conversation. We talked about like different styles of dance and embodiment and stereotypes, body image, and just so much good stuff. So I think you girls are really going to enjoy this episode. So before we get started, I just wanted to share a couple of things. I do have a class coming up the 28th, we are going to be doing a masterclass in my Facebook community on leaning into your divine feminine energy. So if you're wanting to, you know, really learn how to connect more with your femininity and connect more with your body, connect more with your inner power and allowing yourself to just flow, right? To operate from the space of flow and sovereignty. And I really feel like this is a topic that I just love to share about. So I had to create a masterclass for you girls. So if you want to be part of the masterclass, make sure you message me over on Instagram. And I will send you a link and invite to the Facebook group. Or you can also just go to Facebook and it's my group is called Heart Centered Leadership. And as well, I think I can try to send put a link in the show notes for you girls so you can kind of connect that way. It's going to be such a great conversation, a great class. And of course, it's really going to be fun because that's what we always have to do, right? When we have our feminine energy, it's always fun, playful, and empowering. So if you girls want to join in, message me as well. I do have some one-on-one Reiki sessions left for this month. If you're wanting to get attuned in August, I haven't really released a date yet, but stay tuned for that. All right, beautiful girls, I am going to stop talking and let you enjoy this episode. All right, girls, I have a special guest today. I'm so excited for you to meet her. Her name is Sarah, and we are going to dive into getting to know her a little bit. She is, we actually worked together in a mastermind a couple of months ago, and we just got to get to know each other, and you guys are going to love her. So I'm so excited to share. Sarah, can you just introduce yourself a little bit and tell us about who you are, what you do, and yeah, just give us some little background around about yourself.
Oh my goodness. God, where do I even start? Well, 41 years ago, I was born. I won't go back that far. My name is Sarah Blodgett. I don't even know what I would call myself. I'm like a recovering stand-up comedian, blogger, YouTuber, Instagrammer, transitioning into dance teacher. Like, I'm pretty much do it all. I have a couple online brands that I'm working on, which we can talk about later on. And I'm mostly on Instagram. I kind of have this weird Instagram following that kind of blew up a few years ago, and I kind of post body confidence content on there. So yeah, that's just a little bit about me.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited because I feel like there's just, you're doing so many different things right now. And when we started mentoring together in the mentorship, just seeing you just like blossom and grow and just like getting really clear on what it is that you're wanting to do. And it's really exciting to see. I know, like, what was that?
Thank you.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. And it's like, I think we forget like this process is like really an unfolding of just like allowing ourselves to come back to who our authentic self is. Right. And so in this journey, like we're both in the same space, right. Where we're really unfolding, we're really allowing ourselves to, see what we're passionate about. Right. And what it is that we're going to be doing it, like making a purpose with our purpose. Right.
Yeah. So, oh, I could say the same thing about you though. Watching you grow has been amazing too. I mean, you're just like blowing up Instagram and doing your thing and everything. And I'm all, every time I see you, I'm like, you go girl.
Thank you. I know. Right. And that's like the plus of like having sisters online, right? Like you could just really grow together. And I know that there's that competitive energy where we're always like constantly like, oh, well, there's that jealousy piece. And then there's a lot of that like competition energy, but I love that we're able to kind of cheer each other on and just really in the sidelines, like just knowing that you're supported, right? That we're in this together. It's not a competition, right? We're all here to really serve and to make an impact and do things that like empower us and to empower others, right?
I think it helps too when you've got people who like have a lot in common and like each other and like have good energies, but we also like are our own people. So like if two people are trying to like be the same thing, it gets more difficult because it gets like, oh, well she did this, so maybe that's what I should be doing. But like when you've got like people who are just like owning themselves and like doing their own thing their own way, it's like so much easier to like cheer them on. Cause I'm like, hey, she's being her and I'm being me. That's so great. You know?
Yeah, because it gives you that permission too to really kind of go forward after what you want too, right? So it's really about like together, like we're just like empowering each other. Like it's like we're getting to that space where we're like, okay, it's safe for me to really express myself, right? So this is what I'm so excited about because we have a lot in common when it comes to dance and energy and the divine feminine. And this is just like where my heart is as well. So I want you to share a little bit about, I want you to share about comedy, but yeah, let's go back. Let's backtrack first. So let me have you share a little bit about your experience with comedy, where that kind of brought you here today, what you've learned in this space of being a woman in the comedy field, right? What kind of lessons did you take away with this?
Oh my God, so many. Well, I did stand-up comedy for 15 years, which, oh my God, I feel so old even saying that. I'm like, oh my God, I did something for 15 years and I was an adult when I started and I'm like not really doing it anymore. It's just so crazy. And it's funny because like, I think about it too, because I joke all the time, like, oh, I'm in like recovery from stand-up comedy and like kind of kidding, but kind of not, because I definitely think that there were a lot of lows and there were a lot of dark places and stuff, but I don't think a day goes by that I don't use a skill that I learned in my time doing stand-up comedy. Like even just like being on social media, like I don't know if I would have, I mean, because it's so funny when I started doing stand-up, like MySpace was just becoming a thing. So it's like, I don't even know if I would have even jumped into social media the way that I did had I not been like, okay, I guess I have to learn this so I can promote myself doing stand-up. And like then of course it became its own thing. But there's so much stuff. And yeah, it's really crazy with comedy because I mean I kind of fell into it. I find that to actually be kind of a thing. Like it's a common theme for me where I just kind of like fall into things and then I wake up one day and I'm like, oh, I guess I'm doing this now. but like I always wanted to be an actress, and I always liked comedic acting more. I like to make people laugh and stuff. So I kind of just like fell into doing stand up, and you know, I had this whole like plan how like that was gonna be a sitcom, and it was like this whole like life's plan. And it's so funny how for so many years I got so bitter when things didn't go exactly the way that I envisioned that they were gonna go. And I look back on it now, and just in the past few years and stuff, when I've kind of been like waking up to a lot of stuff, like in the world, but also like within my own life. And I think like, oh my God, I'm so glad that it didn't go the way that I wanted it to. And it's not like I'm like, I don't love every way that it did go, but like, I'm really glad that it didn't go the path that I intended. Cause I'm like, I don't really like now I'm like, oh, I don't think I would have wanted to be in that Hollywood industry. And I don't think I would want to be in that game. And I've seen a lot of people sell themselves out and stuff. And it's just sort of like I'm glad it didn't go that way. But I also do, well, we're talking about being a woman in comedy. I mean, I could go on about comedy for like 12 hours too, but it's a weird thing, because I think comedy, I don't want to say it was one of the few, but I think it is one of the few professions nowadays where it's completely, totally acceptable to be completely chauvinistic and against, and like actually just say like, I don't think women can do it. But like, can you imagine like any other career? I mean, I'm sure that there are other careers where people do say that, but like have it be like completely acceptable for someone to come out and just be like, yeah, I don't think women can do this. Like any other career, it would just like, people would be like, phew. Whereas like in comedy, it's just so like, oh yeah, I don't think women can do it. And like, it's funny how there are more women now doing it than there were like 15 years ago when I started. And there were, you know, there are more women doing it when I started than there were like 15 years before that. Like there's always more women doing it, but it is definitely a man's profession. Like there's mostly men, not to stereotype, although I think after 15 years, I can kind of stereotype. They're not exactly the most emotionally healed men that get into comedy. Because I think people in general, and I would include myself in this, tend to get into doing something like stand-up comedy as a way to deal with pain or emotions or something like that. Like not a lot of people are drawn to that field because they like had a happy childhood and everything was great and like their life is wonderful and they're like, oh, I feel really good about myself, so I'm gonna get up on stage and like try to make drunks laugh and whatever and let people judge me. Like that's just not like a normal thing that like healthy, well-adjusted people do. So it was actually really weird getting into stand-up, because I actually it just like the way the course of my life went growing up my whole life, I had always been overweight. Like just as far back as I can remember, I've always had a weight problem as a child. I was always sort of like the fat kid, and it was just like always dealing with that and always being like, even the people that I did get along with, I was like fat, funny friend. You know what I mean? Like it was like boys weren't interested in me. And I was just sort of like, I could kind of use humor to kind of be liked, because I was like, well, I'm not one of like the pretty girls, or I'm like the oh, it's such a shame, she has such a pretty face kind of a girl, like, but you know, implied that I was too overweight kind of thing. So it was just kind of a weird thing, because I, you know, boys never really paid too much attention to me or anything like that. And then I lost about 70 pounds when I was in my early 20s. And then after that, I started doing stand-up comedy, like pretty much just after I'd lost the weight, which is really dumb, because losing weight and actually like looking good and feeling good about your body, although I still had a lot of insecurity issues, but like looking good and being thinner and more attractive in comedy is not exactly a plus. Like people want their comedians to be like miserable and unattractive, and like that's just a thing, right? Because it feeds more into the sort of victim mentality of comedy in general. But it was weird, because I had lost the weight, and I think that's ironically what gave me the confidence to be able to, I was like, okay, I lost the weight. And part of that was also, and I'm, as much as I don't like to buy into diet culture, I'm proud of that accomplishment. Like, I set a goal and I did it. You know what I mean? Like, it was, whether it was the healthiest thing or, you know, I mean, I didn't lose the weight in the least healthy way, but, you know, wasn't necessarily the healthiest way, but it was the way that I knew at the time. And I had that like achievement, like I had done this. So I was like, well, I'm going to do this other thing. But then walking into comedy, and of course, now being thinner, it kind of became this like, oh, well, she was obviously always the popular girl and like boys always liked her. And so it kind of became that kind of energy. I was like, no, like that's not who I was. But it was like how I looked didn't match how I felt in the inside. Wow. And also I was now surrounded by a whole bunch of boys. I mean, men, but boys. And they were all attracted to me. And I was all like, whoa, like, this is weird. None of them thought I could be funny because they thought that I was too like, quote unquote, attractive, when it was just like, but wait a second. I was always the fat, funny girl before. Now I've lost the weight and now people don't think I'm funny anymore. Like, I'm still the same person. Hmm. So it was a really weird transition, the way that that all kind of happened in my life. And then in the course of comedy, my weight definitely fluctuated. My self-esteem definitely fluctuated because, you know, comedy would do that to you. And it was just like a weird roller coaster of emotions of having to deal with like, but I do think it was a test, because I do know it kind of forced me into vulnerability. Mm. Because if I just walked up on stage feeling confident and attractive and fit and everything, audiences were like, it was judgy. It really was. And right or wrong, it was. Whereas I noticed when I actually went up on stage and started out talking about my weight loss, talking about what I'd been through, it was like immediately, especially women in the audience, because most comedy audiences, like, it's one thing that nobody ever thinks about in comedy, because it's like, oh, it's male dominated. It's all about men. Usually audiences in comedy, like people in the audiences are like, it's 50-50 usually, because it's mostly couples that go to comedy shows, or it's actually bachelorette parties. So sometimes it's more women than men, because like bachelor parties aren't going to comedy shows, but bachelorette parties will. So it was like, I could really easily win over an audience because it was like women could relate to what I was going through. And it kind of paved the way a little bit for, or a lot, maybe a lot, to my Instagram journey, because I would get a lot of women that would come up to me after the show and be like, oh my God, like I went through that, or I'm going through, you know, losing weight now, or body image issues. Or I talked a lot about dating and bad dates, and they'd be like, oh my God, I relate to what you're going through. And, one of my favorite observations in comedy too, is that my dating history is like pathetic, and we're not even going to get into that. But like, I would do a lot of jokes. I was like, oh, at the time I was like, I'm going to be like the Carrie Bradshaw of comedy and stuff. And so I would tell these jokes about these horrible dates and these horrible relationships I'd been in. And I would get guys, like usually male comics, usually older guys or whatever, that would come up to me and be like, yeah, you know, nobody believes that a girl who looks like you has problems with men. Like, nobody buys that. Like, no one believes that at all. But then I would do a show and I would talk about this stuff on stage. And then I would get usually like the most attractive women, like drop dead gorgeous women, who would be in the audience, who would come up to me after the show and be like, oh my God, I went through that same thing. Like, or I dated a guy, it was just like that, or like whatever. And it's just like, there's a real disconnect here between what one side thinks and what the other, what's really going on. You know what I mean? And it was just sort of like really interesting observation, I think, between like the men and women dynamic, because men are just like, yeah, no, you chicks don't have any problems, like, you know, men just do whatever you want. And I'm like, no, actually, yeah. There's a lot of women out there with insecurities who are going through a lot of stuff too.
It seems like there's a lot of stereotype, like, in this industry, like, you know, women do this, men do this, like, and then it's like there's no like gray area, so it's like very white or black, right? So
yeah,
I applaud you for, you know, really taking that step and putting yourself out there in a way that was like uncomfortable too, you know. And I think that a woman, you know, having all those women come up to you, that must have felt really great, you know, because, you know, like, well, it may seem like I'm not making an impact here, but I am. Like, women are really listening to what I'm sharing, even though it feels like like people are still judging me, and that can carry over to all other areas of your life, right? So now that you're in, you know, really working on reaching women in the social media platforms, you have that experience, right? To kind of just share and say, hey, I know what that feels like. I've been in this space where I felt rejected, and I had to deal with like insecurities, and I had to deal with like fear and just me showing up as my authentic self and people judging me. And it's like, it's so crazy because it's like these guys have no clue what they're talking about.
Exactly.
They don't know what the divine feminine is about. Like, and yeah. Even though you were at a different space then, you mm-hmm. still were like evolving into that woman, right? That you mm-hmm. are today. Which I think is so cool how everything just kind of like goes together for you. But you know, I think this gives permission to a lot of women to just continue showing up and continue being in the space and being their authentic self. Because I do feel like there are more women in this industry. Like I haven't seen more women show up. Like you've got so many women, like different sizes too, you know, like different backgrounds, nationalities, and you know, so it's really encouraging to see women starting to take up space, right, in this field, in this industry.
Do you think it really as a woman too? You know what I mean? Like, and not because I do think a lot of times I saw it in comedy, but I know it happens a lot in like, I mean, I've never had like a traditional corporate job, but like I know it happens a lot there where it's like, it's almost like women are trained nowadays to do things like men, or like the way that men should do them. And there becomes this pressure to kind of like be like the guys or be one of the guys and stuff. And, you know, I mean, I think we can learn something from each other, you know, men and women and stuff. And, but there's also that place of like making it okay to do things like as a woman and be a woman and mm-hmm. own. Because we are different. I mean, you know, I know we love to pretend that we're not different, but you know, this is probably like one of the most controversial things I could possibly say, but it's like, we are different. You know what I mean? Like men don't have healthy cycles, you know? I mean, it's just a different.
Yes. Our energy, our magic, what we create, like what we bring is so magnetic and unique, and it's beautiful. And we need both, right? We definitely need both. So it's just like, the awareness piece, like bringing that awareness back to, you know, women being able to speak their truth, women being able to be in comedy in whatever field it is, really. It's not just about comedy. It's about any avenue that you're feeling called to kind of take up space, right?
Yeah.
So I love that. Can you share a little bit about, we're going to go into the divine feminine since this kind of goes with this. Can you tell us about, I know you just started a new venture. You're starting to work into incorporating dance and movement into your social media platform. So Sarah has a platform on YouTube, and she also has a platform on Instagram. So she uses both of those to really reach women and to empower them. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that, but I want you to share about Divine Feminine Dance. Like, what brought you to the space of embodiment with movement?
You know, it's, again, it's a long story, but, it's, you know, I mean, dance has always been a huge part of my life, and I don't think I fully appreciated how much it had been a part of my life until, I mean, even this past year, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't really understand how much it had defined me. And it's interesting because like, as a kid, I always wanted to dance. Like, and I always wanted to take dance classes, and I always wanted to sign up for dance classes, and my parents would never let me. And I think some of it was like the aspect about how, you know, I was an overweight little girl. And I think my mother was like really afraid of like the stereotypical, like, you know, dance teachers and dance schools and competitions. And like, I don't think she wanted to like put me in that environment. Like, I think it was her way of trying to protect me, which I respect now. I mean, I hated it back then, but like, I get it now. But I always loved dance. And I think I was doing embodiment dance as a kid before I even understood. I mean, I didn't have any clue what embodiment dance, I don't think anybody was talking about embodiment dance back then, you know what I mean? But like, I would get, this is how old I am, I would get VHS tapes of like dance classes and like this, I do ballet class, and I would try to do the traditional stuff. My favorite thing to do was just to like shut my door, turn on music, and I would just like dance. And like whatever I was feeling, like if it was like I was having a really bad day, I would just like, I'd put on some really like sad R&B and I would just like cry it out and dance and stuff. And like I was just doing that as a kid, like naturally. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I mean, I think I was also the type too. It was weird because as self-conscious as I was and like insecure as I was about me, if there was music on, I was going to dance to it. Like I didn't care. Like at school dances and stuff, like people would show up and be all like, oh, is a boy going to ask me to dance? And I'd be like, there's music on. I'm dancing. Like, who cares? Like, no boys ever asked me to dance, but I was like, who cares? Like, I'm going to dance. There's music. Like, you know, or like even in my brief clubbing years and stuff, it's funny because people would always think that I was drunk and stuff because like the music would be on. And I'd be like, all right, we're going to dance. And they'd be like, how much have you had to drink? And I'd be like, I haven't had a drink yet. What are you talking about?
Like,
why are we not dancing? Like, I'm telling you, I live by the great Gloria Estefan, the rhythm is going to get you. Like it is, like, it's going to get you. And it's always been a part of my life. And I didn't actually I did like a movement class in high school because they offered that temporarily in place of gym. So I did, that was kind of more like a lyrical movement thing, which I loved. Which is where I went to a Catholic school, and we actually like incorporated some of the lyrical dance into like our, like we had like big, like we didn't have big like church services like every week at school, but like for like big holidays and like we'd have like an Easter thing and whatever. And like, I actually like dance. It's so ironic because I know like we've talked a lot about like kind of religious backgrounds and stuff. And it's funny mm-hmm. how we did a thing where it was, I think it was for our Easter service, because it was we did this like dance interpretation of like the crucifixion, and mm-hmm. I got to be like the lead torturer. So basically like I had to do like a dance movement of like basically like mock beating Jesus on the cross. Like I was like the bad guy. And I was like, it was funny because my teacher was like,
that is hysterical.
In charge of that. She's like, yeah, you're like the troop leader. Cause there were only two of us who were like the seniors in the class. So, she's like, you're
a true embodiment work right there.
Exactly. I was like, why am I the head of the torturers? And she's like, cause she got such a sassy personality. Like, okay. So yeah, it's like weird. I think about it. I'm like, one of my first dance performances was actually like in a church service. Wow. And I was a bad girl too. Yeah, like, talk about weird. But yeah. And I remember we did a final project too in school, that year as like a senior project. Cause there were two of us who were seniors that year, and we each got half the class and we had to teach them like a dance routine that we had to choreograph ourselves. And like, again, it was mostly like movement and lyrical and stuff. And I did, I think you'll appreciate this because this is like your time period, but I did because we're like the same age. So like,
yeah, we're old people. We're old.
But I went to a Catholic school it was mostly Italians in school. So we were all basically like a whole bunch of white girls. But like, you know, hip hop was so big back then and stuff. So I actually did a choreographed dance. I entitled it, because it was supposed to be about kind of like social justice or something. So I picked Violence on the Streets, and I actually used two Bone Thugs and Harmony songs. Okay. And I'm kidding. I did First of the Month, you know, like they have that intro. It's like, get up, wake up. It's the first of the month. Yeah. And I had that intro. Okay. And then I edited on my little like cassette recorder thing, because this is back. With a gunshot from like a Janet Jackson's Rhythm Nation album. So there was a gunshot that happened, and then it went into Bone Thugs and Harmony's Crossroads. And I had everybody come in, and like when they had the gunshot, one of the girls went down, and like it was basically like a drive-by shooting. Like we were doing this like lyrical dance to like this drive-by like gang shooting basically. Yeah. And I had them like lifting her up as like she was Jesus on the cross and stuff like that. And it was like this whole thing there, and they actually had some of the teachers in the school come to watch, and I actually had a few teachers who were like crying because they thought it was so powerful.
Wow.
And it was really funny because the other girl in the class who was the other senior, we were kind of like frenemies, and mm-hmm. she had a ton of dance experience. Like she'd been dancing her whole life, and she picked all the girls who like had a ton of dance experience. Like they were all like trained ballerinas and stuff. And she basically left me all the girls in the class who had no dance experience. So like we were all kind of like the misfits in the class of like people mm-hmm. who like didn't really know our dance moves and stuff. And we were the ones who like actually like moved everybody to tears because like the dance was so powerful and stuff. And I think back on it, I'm like, I can't believe I choreographed a dance with a bunch of white girls at a Catholic school to like Bone Thugs and Harmony and like doing a lyrical dance to like a gang shooting.
Like, I'm laughing because I love it so much because I can totally relate to this. Like I did the same shit like when I was a kid, like the cassette player, getting music out and choreographing. And like, I love that. And it just makes me think how we were so young, but we just really went with our intuition and we didn't care. Like we just created whatever felt good and was fun and it was original. And it was just like, it didn't even matter what everyone else thought. Like we were just like, this feels good. Like we're just going to create this, you know, like dance. I used to have my neighbor come and we would do like a little show and we would play like the old school, like I'm Walking on Sunshine. Do you ever remember that song?
Yeah.
And we used to sit out front and she would sit there and we'd go, all right, you're going to stay there and we're going to dance. Okay. And we're going to perform. I love it.
Oh my God, yeah. You put on a whole show. Wow. Yeah. It's crazy to think about.
So this is kind of like your introduction of you getting into embodiment, but then how did like divine feminine dance kind of start? Like what made you think?
Well, I mean, I did actually, when I was a teenager, I started taking dance at a dance studio. I didn't actually take my first like official dance studio class until I was like 19. Mm-hmm. And I just took like a hip hop class for fun. And it's just kind of weird how the, how everything sort of like happens for a reason type of thing is like, I just signed up. Cause back then at the time, like hip hop dance was really popular, but it wasn't being taught in schools a lot. And there weren't a lot of like adult classes. Like there were some like teen classes and stuff, but, so it just, this was like the only studio in my hometown that actually was teaching hip hop dance. And so I just signed up for a class with her and, she also had been the teacher who owned the studio had been a professional belly dancer. And she also taught belly dance classes. And there was something I had never thought about before in my life. And I all of a sudden found myself being like, oh, maybe I want to take belly dance. And so I took belly dance for like 8 years, loved it. It's like one of my favorite things. And it's funny how I felt like I've been telling people for years that like, I think every woman at least one point in her life should take a belly dance class because there is like nothing that will make you feel more feminine and like nothing that celebrates the female body more than belly dance. It's just like one of those things where you're just like you kind of have to be free with your body. Like you have to own like, and it's almost like if you've got stuff going on, like you've got, you know, like we're so caught up in our culture, I think, of like being like nothing can move and everything has to be so like toned and tight. And it's like with belly dance, it's like, no, you just shake everything and you just, you know, everything moves. And it's like such a celebration of femininity. And I've always loved that. So I've studied belly dance, like, you know, off and on for even longer than I did stand up and stuff. So that was always kind of a part of my life. And then I actually ended up, I worked a little bit at the dance studio because I got to know my teacher. And so I would teach classes here and there, mostly with kids. I loved working with kids. They're little kids in tutus that just like are like want to take a dance break and give you a hug. It's like, oh my God, mm-hmm. It's the best feeling in the world. So it was kind of always there. But then when I started doing stand up and stuff, I would kind of try to take dance classes here and there, but it was, you know, timing wise, it never really worked out. And comedy was kind of my life and stuff. And it was interesting how I kind of had to suppress a lot of that natural like dance embodiment, that sort of feminine energy and stuff doing stand up. Cause like if I was hanging out after a comedy show and there was music on and I would find myself dancing, it was like, I was just it attracted too much unwanted male attention and stuff. So I found myself suppressing a lot of that, for a long time. Mm. So I would still take classes here and there, but not regularly. And then, I kind of had my dark night of the soul the last 6 years of my life where a lot of things like fell apart and like, you name it, it went wrong in my life. And then 2020 happened, which is like, I feel like everybody else is just like, oh my God, 2020 was the worst year ever. And I'm like, nah, for me, the 5 years before that were kind of like a complete disaster. And 2020 was almost like a time to chill for me. Like it was just like, oh, I'm locked in my house I can't go anywhere. This is kind of a relief right now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's my situation. I know a lot of other people had, like, I don't ever want to like dismiss anybody else's struggles. Cause I know like 2020, a lot of people, you know,
yeah,
lost loved ones, lost their lives, lost their livelihoods and stuff. It just, for me, it was sort of like it was a nice chance to go into a cocoon. Mm-hmm. And, I had actually started getting really into dance too, like watching it, but never really thought I would ever do it. Mm-hmm. And there was a burlesque teacher online who I had found, Ginger Valentine, who I started following. And I knew that she taught like live classes and she did like training programs and stuff like in LA. But mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I'm here on the East Coast. And I was always like, oh my God, it's like my dream to one day like train with her and take classes with her. Mm-hmm. And then when 2020 happened, she started teaching online and I ended up like training with her and stuff. And like, it was just sort of like, again, it was like, I sort of like manifested that. I mean, I didn't manifest the pandemic. Nobody blame me for that, but like, but it was like crazy how it was like, I got to do that. And that became a part. And like, I had to overcome a lot of like weird, I think, blocks with my body and stuff. Cause it was like, oh, we're going to do like a lap dance this time. And I was just like, ooh, like, I don't want to do a lap dance. And then it was like, there, I'm doing a lap dance. I'm like, oh, I kind of like this. I mean, by myself, not with anybody, but like, yeah. By myself. And like, so that was kind of becoming like a big part of my day. It was like, oh, okay. Well, I was finding myself because I was kind of leaving comedy. I was transitioning out. And then of course comedy shows stopped completely. As people weren't live performing and stuff. So it was like, I was finding myself doing that and like almost like reconnecting with my love of dance again. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up working with my first life coach, really starting to learn about the divine feminine and feminine masculine energy and like digging into that stuff and getting into my sexuality, my sensuality and stuff. And kind of unrepressing all of that from so many years. And it was just really random because I did, I've only ever done one channel reading before in my life. And I was doing this channel reading and I was just feeling like, so like, I have no clue where I'm going with my life. I have no clue what I'm doing. I left comedy. The world is coming to an end. Like, I don't know what's going on. And I remember like, she was like, what questions do you have for me? And I was like, and she didn't really know much about me or anything like that. So I was just like, what is my step in my career? And she just went, dance. Like that was like, came out of her mouth. And I was just sort of like, what? For me, it was like, I never thought I could really have a career in dance. Like that was something I would have loved to have when I was younger, but I didn't have the body for it. I wasn't a dancer's body or anything. So it was like, I was sort of like, how the hell is dance going to be a part of my career? Like it didn't make sense to me at the time. And she even kind of like gave me this look like, do you even have any dance experience? And I was like, yeah. Like, and it's funny because my initial thought was like, yeah, yeah, I have some. And so it was like, after doing that reading, I was meditating, I was doing a lot of like inner work, deep, like just digging into my soul and just like pulling everything out. And like, I mean, it was just like, it was definitely not pretty, but I had that in the back of my head of like, dance is going to somehow be like, how in the world is that even going to happen? Like, it was just sort of like this whole thing. It was just sort of like hovering over me for a while. And then I started taking like just more dance classes. I started doing belly dance online again. And, I took a, like kind of an embodiment dance class. And I, you know, was learning more about other types of dance. Like I did like a Kundalini dance workshop and all these different things. And I was just sort of like, I think this is what I'm meant to do. And I didn't know how I was going to do it. I still don't fully know exactly how I'm going to teach classes or anything like that. I'm still in the process of figuring out the technical stuff, but mm-hmm. I was just kind of like, yeah, this feels right. Like this feels like what I'm going to do. And I was just sort of like brainstorming and trying to just surrender and be like, all right, whatever needs to come through. And then it just kind of, I had some names of, you know, I was like, well, I kind of wanted to walk away from my other, I'm not walking away completely, but I kind of wanted to transition a little bit out of my other brand, which I was doing beauty blogging and things like that as well, which is a whole other conversation. But, mm-hmm. I wanted to get a little bit away from kind of what I had been doing and kind of start fresh and something new. And I was coming up with some different names that kind of, I don't know, they felt okay. But then it was just like one day it was like Divine Feminine Dance just came into my head. And I was like, yeah, this is it. Like, this is
wow,
what I want to do. And then I was just like, I'm sure that's taken. Like, I'm sure that name is taken. Like, someone's probably using it. And like the URL was available. And I went to, my father's like a patent attorney, so he does copyright. So I was like doing like a little like trademark search. I'm like, is that trademark available? And I was like, oh, the trademark's available. I'm like, this is all like lining up like really weird. And I was wow. like, all right. So I just kind of, I don't know. I really had to surrender to it though, because there were so many things in my head that were like, yeah, but you don't really know how you're going to do this. And you don't really know that. And like, how are you going to figure this out? And how are you going to figure that? And like, I had all those things in my head, but I was like, nope, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it and like, just go for it. So I have my website. I actually launched my website last month, and I have a few blog posts on there. And I started doing some reels and stuff with some dancing and stuff on Instagram to kind of test the waters. And that was getting such a great response from people. And it was just all feeling like it was really lining up. So yeah, I have the website, which I created myself. I did everything, the photography, the layout, the everything all by myself. I feel like every like 6 or 7 years, I do like a whole brand new website.
I feel you on that, but wow, I'm like so excited for you. I think this is beautiful. So much I'm going to say, but yeah, like this unfolding for you. And it's so funny. The ego is always like, how are you going to make this work? Right. And you're just like, I don't know.
I still don't fully know. Yeah. Like, nope, this is going to happen. It's going to happen. Yeah.
And it just starts with that. It starts with that first, like, divine download. And then you're just like, okay. And you're just going to just go forward, take the steps day at a time, and it will just unfold. Right.
Yeah.
But I think this, divine feminine dance is a beautiful way for women to connect deeper with their bodies and the divine feminine. And I love this because I feel like there's so many women that are starting to create things that are more in a playful, creative space. Versus like doing things that are traditional, right? So, you know, being able to kind of express yourself through movement, through belly dance. I have to take a belly dance because that is one type of dance I've not done. So you've convinced me.
Oh my God, you have to. Oh my God.
You're convincing me. Yeah. I need to.
You know what? Don't do it unless you're prepared to be completely hooked, because you will, you will be obsessed. Like, you will be, I know you, and you will be obsessed. Like, you will get hooked. It is.
That's why I'm like, oh, well, the thing is, I love all types of dance. So I'm just like, this morning I had salsa music playing and I'm like doing salsa dancing. So it's like,
if you like salsa, you will love belly dance. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I would too. Well, maybe when you start teaching your classes, I'll take yours. And then you can teach me how to do it. I love this. Yeah. So I think this is a beautiful doorway for a lot of women to kind of connect with their bodies deeper. And I love what you said about like really, you know, those layers that we sometimes carry, right? That we have to kind of move through. And I think dance is such a powerful way to really release that. We don't realize the insecurities that we carry and about our bodies. You know, I completely understand. Like, I was in the modeling industry and I know how like judgmental it is and how like people want you to be a certain size. And it's like, if you're not this size and if your skin doesn't look this way, it's just a lot of pressure that we put on ourselves. And with dance, it like really kind of brings you to the present moment. Like, it brings you to here. And whatever emotions might come up for you, I feel like it's a great way to release it. So it could be like a happy dance. And I love what you said about how when you're a kid, you would play like this sad song and you would just move your body to that music. And it's like, that is the power of dance, right? It could be anything. It could be a happy dance, a celebration. It could be a morning time where you just feel so sad. And we both have this in common that I have an acting background. So I did a lot of like, what is it called? Dialogues or like when you do like the mime, what is it called? Like my, like movements, like you don't talk. I can't remember what it's called.
Miming would be like,
is it miming? Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. I used to do that and I used to get so into it. Like, I remember just like putting all my emotion and energy into like this like dialogue of what we were trying to speak and portray to people, right? So do you agree, like dance is like that expression of yourself?
Yeah. And it's so, I actually think that's one of the biggest things that I've noticed and I woke up to, because I do think I've always been a little bit more connected with my body than I think the average person. I kind of have a very natural intuition and stuff that I don't think I fully owned up for a long time. Mm-hmm. But I think that one of my observations in me learning more to get into my body is seeing how many women especially are so disconnected from their bodies, and they're living completely in their head. And it's not that living in your head is necessarily a bad thing all the time. We need our heads. You know what I mean? We need our brain. We need our egos sometimes.
Yeah.
But like so many things that women are disconnected with as far as their bodies. And like, there's like nothing better to get you like into your body and connect with your body and ask your body like how it feels than dancing. And I don't even think it has to be like, I think a lot of people avoid it because I think a lot of people think of dance as being this like choreographed, like step, or they think of like that it has to be this like ballerina, like perfect movement thing. It's like, no, it can be ugly and it can be messy and it can be like just, and it can just be for you if you want. Like, it doesn't have to be, or it can be a performance if you want it to be, you know what I mean? But like, it can also just be like your thing for you that you do as like a self-care thing. And I think sometimes too, like one of the things I've noticed from studying a lot of things about the divine feminine and the divine masculine is that,
hey girls, if you can do me a favor and just stop what you're doing, screenshot this episode and share it with a friend. This helps me out so much, you guys, to grow my platform, get the message out, and help other women that you think would really enjoy this. Also, if you haven't had a chance to rate my podcast, you can head over to iTunes. It takes a couple seconds just to quickly leave me a review. A 5-star review would be amazing. And I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to my messages, to listen to this podcast, and really just spend time with me. It means the world to me.
You know, I feel like we kind of almost in our modern day society think of like sitting and meditating as being like, oh, that's something that women do. But that's actually a very masculine way of centering yourself. And not that women can't do it, and not that that's not beneficial or anything. It can be. I think a lot more men should be doing it, because a lot more men need meditation and stuff, but that's a whole other conversation. But like moving and flowing and like meditating with movement is actually very feminine. Like that's the feminine, it's the divine feminine. Like the feminine energy is not meant to sit still. It's meant to move and flow. And I think there's like a time and place for both. And because we all have feminine and masculine energies within us, but there, I think we, when we think of like meditation or centering ourselves, I think, especially as women, we think of like, all right, well, we have to sit there and we have to like meditate and we have to just like be still and like try to clear our minds, but we can't clear our minds because we're in our minds all the time. And then it's like, no, you can also like move and flow. And like, I think it's almost easier, at least it's easier for me to get out of my mind if my body's moving, because if I'm not moving and I'm just still, I'm just sort of like, all right, oh my God, did I turn off my curling iron? All right, wait, yes. The oven on, is it, wait, did I remember to defrost dinner? Like, you're just sitting there and you're just like, no, stop thinking. But then you're thinking, stop thinking. And it just becomes this like vicious cycle. Whereas like, if you just turn on some music and you just dance and flow, it's like, I mean, you can still get distracted and whatever, we're human, but it's so much easier to just sort of like feel in your body and just, you know, like, oh, okay, that feels good. Oh, does that feel, oh, no, that, no, okay, that, no, that doesn't feel good. Okay, no, that feels good. You know what I mean? Way easier to like get into your body that way. And I think a lot of women, I mean, a lot of people in general, but I think a lot of women especially are really missing that from their lives.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, it's a moving meditation. And, you know, I think that you're right. We forget that it is also considered meditation. Like anything that we do that, like you can be going on a walk, that's a moving meditation, right? Where you're connecting with your mind and your body and your spirit. Like, so it doesn't have to be one way. We can connect with meditation in a way that feels good to us. So dance is a beautiful way to connect deeper with yourself in a way that maybe you would have never thought to do, right? So it's like kind of putting yourself out of the box and moving your body that way. So I love this permission, you know, that we can kind of just allow ourselves to not be sitting like this, like meditating all the time, right? And we can move our bodies and we can make it fun and we can make it sensual. And it doesn't have to be so, like, you know, boring.
Yeah, which is interesting too, because even when I was kind of in my comedy phase and sort of trying to suppress my dance and movement kind of thing, because I was trying to, like, not be too sexual or whatever. Mm. It's funny how you mentioned walking, because, like, that became, like, that's one of my number one pieces of advice for people when they're trying to do something creative. Because when I was, like, I would be trying to write, or I'd have, like, an idea for a bit or a joke or whatever, and I was trying to create, if I would get stuck, like, and I would get really frustrated, and then I would just, like, go out for a walk. And then I swear to God, the minute I would go out for a walk, and of course I would never bring, like, a pen and paper or something to write it down, I'd go for a walk and I'd be like, oh my God, that's the answer. Like, that's the punchline, or like, that's the bit. Like, it was always like going out and moving, or in the shower. I swear to God, like, it's either going for a walk,
me too,
or you're in the shower and you're like, oh my God, I can't write this down because everything's all wet. And you're like, no, but that idea is so good.
Like, water is magical. Yeah. I swear, water is like my superpower. Like, whenever I'm, like, in the water or near the water, it has, like, that energy that you're just like, woo, it just like recharges you. Okay, so we're, like, because of time, oh my gosh, I still have so much stuff to ask you, but we'll wrap this up before we end. I just want you to share, you know, how can women, like, what's your advice for women who are wanting to start connecting with their body, start wanting to dance, wanting to be more sensual? What's one thing that you would say to just get started?
Honestly, I think the first thing is an observational exercise. And I think that is, and it is, however you want to do it. You know, for me, I was using Pinterest a lot, but I think it's anything. It's just like noticing the things that turn you on. And it doesn't have to be just a sexual thing, but it can be a sexual thing. You know, just noticing that, because I think, like, what is pleasurable and what is sensual for one person is totally different than what it would be for somebody else. And I think it's so important, because I do think, especially as women, we get kind of manipulated by the media, and I could go off about the media, but, like, I won't right now. But we get kind of in this thing about, like, how we're supposed to be sensual, or how we're supposed to be sexual, or, like, what is a sexy movement, or what is an attractive look, or, like, and especially that, like, what do men want kind of thing. We fall a lot into that category too. And I think it's so important to really start observing what turns you on, like, our, like, yourself, like, what is sensual, what is pleasurable, you know, and even with dance, it's like, you know, just like what song, like, just connecting to your intuition. One of the things I love to do is just, like, sit there and just, like, close my eyes and be like, what song do I want to listen to right now? And, like, one will pop into my head, and whatever it is, you just put that song on and just dance. And sometimes it could surprise you. It may not even be a song you even, like, consciously like, you know what I mean? But you're just like, nope, that's what my brain wants to hear right now. So, like, just, and I think it's like training yourself, like, wearing something that makes you feel sexy, not like what somebody else thinks, or like what you think sexy should be. It's like putting on something that you're like, this makes me feel good. Because the big secret that we don't ever tell women is that when you feel sexy and you feel beautiful and you feel turned on, that's what makes other people turned on. Like, it's not you being what they want you to be, or like,
I love that
thing that they want to be. It's seeing you. And if they're not turned on by you being turned on by yourself, then they're not someone who should be in your life. You know what I mean? Like, it's so, like, it's about you feeling sexy and beautiful in whatever way that is, whether it be how you wear your hair or whatever. And I think it all starts with just observing that, like, what do I like? Cause that was a huge hurdle for me in the initial part of my journey was like, oh, well, I should want to do this, or I should want to look this way, or I should want to, because mm-hmm. that's what I thought that people would want from me. And it's like, it was just like observing, like, no, what do I really feel good in? You know what I mean? It's just, I think it starts out with observing that and giving yourself the permission to be what you think is, and like, just do what feels good for you. And you can try something, and if it doesn't feel good, especially with dance, like, it's just like, try moving a certain way. And I mean, obviously don't hurt yourself, but like, just try moving a certain way. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't feel good, then don't do it, you know? And if this does feel good, or if it brings up something in you where you're like, why doesn't that? I mean, the first time I took like a lap dance class, like, I almost didn't do that workshop.
I want to take one of those.
I almost didn't because I had such a like a mental block around it where I was just like, I don't
pole dancing too.
You know, I actually have an interesting pole dancing story. I took one pole dancing class in my life years ago. Uh-huh. And I kind of feel like it traumatized me, but I also just feel like it doesn't feel good in my body.
Yeah.
I love dancing, but for me, there's something about the pole, and I think like you need a lot of upper body strength that I just don't have.
That's what I'm worried about. Like, can I hold myself in that?
But it was weird because I took a pole dancing class. This was when if pole dancing first got popular back in like the early 2000s, and like there weren't places, like for a while, like there were pole dancing studios like everywhere, but this was like, it was just starting to get popular and celebrities were starting to do it. So there was one school in Boston that taught pole dancing. So I was like, all right, I really want to try this because like all the celebrities are doing it. So I was like, I want to be cool like that. Mm-hmm. So I signed up for class, and the teacher, I have to admit, like, you know, sometimes people's energy just doesn't vibe, right? And the teacher's like, our energy, I think, just didn't vibe. Like, she was just like, it was just off energy. Mm-hmm. But I went there, and I remember I was going to class. I was nervous. I was still really uncomfortable in my body. And I remember putting on a pair of yoga pants that were like, and you know, like you have those yoga pants that like, they fit you in just the right places. You know what I mean? Like they're right. Like they make everything smaller that you want smaller, and they make everything bigger that you want bigger. Like I was feeling really good in these yoga pants. And I had this t-shirt on that was like my favorite t-shirt that like, again, it like hugged me in the right places and was like mm-hmm. loose in the right places. And I was feeling really sexy, which was not a common thing for me at that point in my life. And I showed up to the class, and the teacher was, she was brash for me. And I was a little bit like, all right, whatever. I'm going to give this a try. And she was like, all right, we got to put on our hoe gear. And it's so weird nowadays because you can never do this nowadays because it's like with COVID and stuff. But she had this closet, and she wanted everybody to like put on, it was like this like dirty lingerie closet or whatever. Like, I don't mean dirty, like it wasn't unclean, but it was like dirty, like these like dominatrix outfits and like,
oh, I can just picture it.
And like, and she, and like, so all the other people in the class were all, it was a small class, but like, they were all like putting on this, like, they kept calling it their hoe gear and whatever. And I was just like, I mean, honestly for me, like I'm kind of a germaphobe. So I was like, I don't want to put on like, I don't know how clean this is. Like, I don't, I was just like,
yeah,
me,
I was like, yeah,
feeling self-conscious. Weird. I was just kind of like, I don't know who else has been touching this stuff. Like, I don't know. It was just weird. So I was just like, I kind of want to wear what I'm wearing. And the teacher was kind of like, well, I mean, you can't feel sexy in that. Like, you want to wear something you feel sexy in. And I was kind of like, oh, like, but I did feel sexy was the thing. Like, I totally did. And it was weird because like, we did the class, like pole dancing, it just didn't feel, it wasn't a shame thing for me. It was just like, movements and stuff just didn't really feel right in my body. But the minute we did like a floor routine where we're like, we were dancing in the middle of the floor, I was like, all of a sudden I was like owning it. I was like, yes, this is for me, right? But it was like the actual pole thing for me, it just didn't feel.
I love though what you said though about how doing what feels sexy to you, and that's your advice that goes perfectly with the story that you just shared about, you know, you felt good in what you were wearing, and it's not about what other people think. And I love that. It's great advice. I think it's about finding your sexuality, finding like what appeals to you. I love that. What turns you on? I totally agree with that, because sometimes like, you know, I'll put on like a really cute satin, like like lingerie, and I want to wear that at nighttime because I feel sexy in it. Some days it's like a cute pair of shorts and like a tank top, you know, and it just feels good to me, right? So that kind of gives you that permission to kind of own like your style, like what feels good to you, and be yourself, right? Because it's really what it comes down to is embodying your truth and your essence. So Sarah, I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time and being with us today and sharing your experience. I feel like there's still more we could have covered. I'll have to have you come back and we can chat more. But this is perfect.
No, thank you so much for asking me to do this. And it's always fun talking to you. So any excuse to hang out with you, I'm on board.
Yay, awesome. Well, we'll have to plan another part two, ladies. Stay tuned. Thank you, girls, for joining in today. We will talk to you soon.